24. We're going to talk about a woman at the well. While we're discussing that, Brother Richie said he could not believe that great offering that was stuck up here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. We paid him $600 for his revival services, $100 a service plus $100 expenses, and then there was $1,200 took up that week for Brother Richie. He made $1,800. He just could not believe it. He said he'd been in churches many, many times bigger than this, didn't even come close to what we gave. So he was just blown away at the love and the concern that you had for the ministry and the people that's even in Brazil and his ministry that he's taken to a foreign country. And also, I know that you always come through in all type of ministries that we have at Pleasant Hill. There's a ministry that they just started down across the border in Mexico. It's a terminal ill ministry, a hope to life ministry. Can you imagine when they call you in and say, well, you know, we can't do nothing else for you, the doctors, that you have to put you on hospice care? And then there's no way to help you. They have no wheelchairs. They have no medical treatment. They have no walking cane. They have nothing to help you with whatsoever. The government do not care about those people. So they have a missionary from Mexico is trying to help these people. I got some pictures on the people that he's trying to help. They have 52-1 now, and he's making this ministry himself with absolutely no help whatsoever. But Mother Ben and myself, we're trying to get some stuff together. We'll be leaving in Mexico in the latter part of February to go to Mexico with so many supplies that Brother Ben has took up. And anything that you think of or know that people have a walking stick or a walker or a wheelchair or anything that you think that hospice might need, you bring it, we'll see that it gets to a very, very needed cause. There's small children, and also there's elder that needs help. So appreciate that. But this morning we're going to be talking about a drink that satisfies. A drink that satisfies. I took of that drink many years ago, and I tell you, I've been satisfied. Have y'all been satisfied with Jesus Christ? Woo, that's good, isn't it? I'm telling you, I have been satisfied. One drink is all it takes. And that drink, it says, you know, that drink that we have drunk, it makes a river of flowing water out of our innermost parts. And that means we don't have to go back and keep drinking because we already have it in us. When salvation comes to you, you got it forevermore, that you go into a place called heaven, and we carry it around with us this day. If you're saved here this morning, I hope everybody is saved. If you're not, you can before you leave here. But you carry that well of salvation around with you everywhere you go, that well of salvation. So we want to thank this past week and to bring us back to the center pole, and that is the Word of God and Jesus Christ, to worship Him. And I just want to thank, again, this church and everything was done this past week and prayers that was offered up, and also that great gift that y'all gave to the Lord, knowing His work needs to keep going. I was reading where a group of Christians at different churches had different problems, as we all know that we have. And they was said they're going to get together and they're going to have a different discussion about their problems with different churches. So they gathered in several different churches and their problems that they had had been arose. And so they met together and they started discussing the problem they had at their churches and different churches, trying to get some solutions to their problems. And they said the more they discussed their problems, the bigger the problems grew. Well, some suggest let's just forget about our problem for a little while and let's just talk about Jesus and let's just consider Jesus Christ and let's just get it sit at the feet of Jesus Christ and let's just learn about Jesus Christ through His Word. And so they've done that, and surprising to them, their problem began to dismiss and dissolve, you know, and they fell in love afresh with Jesus Christ all over again. And I really believe that's exactly what happened here at Pleasant Hill. You see, we have problems when we think we have to discuss it among one another. And we all know that we are human beings and we'll all have problems as long as we live. We'll have problems in every church that you go to because we are human beings. But we quit discussing the problem and start discussing Jesus Christ. And I believe that Brother Richie brought the great message and brought us back to Jesus Christ. Seemed like our problem just dissolved and then began to worship Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to keep doing today. And these verses of Scripture is deep. dealing with that. The greatest thing is salvation, and salvation, why? Because Jesus Christ seeks those who worship him in salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ wants our worship. So in this chapter 4, you will find the motivation for worship, you will find the manner of worship, and you will find the mandate of worship. And there's only one way, and that is to be saved, and then you'll be able to worship. People cannot worship God until they are saved. A lot of people go to worship service across the world today, and they bowing down to all type of gods and false gods, but they're not worshiping the true God, and you cannot worship the true God. You might come to a Baptist church day after day, but you're not worshiping God until you are saved by the power of his shed blood on Calvary's cross, and accept that into your life, what Christ Jesus has done to you before that you could ever worship God, and that is God's Son, Jesus Christ. And this woman at the well demonstrates of salvation, but also demonstrates the worship. And I see about 4 sermons in this, and I'll be like Richie. I don't know if I can get through with an hour and a half or not, but there are about 3 or 4 sermons, but I'm going to try to stick with this one here, this hour. And this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that we all just about know the story pretty well. It starts off in the first part of this chapter, but it goes on down to several verses. And it's dealing now of the drink that satisfies. It says, John chapter 4 and verse 19, I begin to read. The woman said unto him, that's Jesus, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our father worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father Jesus, we just thank you for the precious reading of that word. Father, we just want to thank you for that great plan of salvation, Father, that we know that whosoever will, Lord, can come and be saved. And we want to thank you, Lord, for that blanket plan that anybody wants to can be saved. Father, we want to thank you for the great blessing of this day and for each person here and for the blessing upon our church and those who have been on our prayer list and our prayer box and on our heart and mind this hour. Father, we just want to thank you for the far saints of this service, already what you're going to do in the lives of your people. Each heart here, Lord, belongs to you. Father, you read our heart. You know exactly what we're thinking. You know exactly what we're all about. Father, I just pray that you might visit in a very special way, not what I say, Lord, but what the Word of God and the Spirit of God might say to the heart today, that they may realize they need to be closer drawn to thee. And the question may arrive, am I truly worshiping Jesus Christ? Or I'm just sitting here this day with my mind somewhere else, or I have my mind on Jesus Christ and what he done for me at Calvary's cross and the salvation plan he gave to me and he gave to you. Father, we want to ask you now this day, oh God, that your name might be glorified, that truly when we leave this place, we'll have our center heart and our center mind every bit, Lord, all of our strength centered on Jesus Christ and our Lord God Almighty, that we might worship him, because there's no one else worthy to worship except our Savior. And we thank you and we praise you, God, this day in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Worshiping Jesus Christ. Many people today think that they're worshiping Jesus Christ. Many today think they're having a good time in life. Many people think they have reached the great fulfillment in life in many different ways. I saw a commercial on television not long ago. It was a beer commercial. Now, I'm not advertising beer. I want y'all to know that right now. But I'm going to use this for an illustration that I saw it on television. And this beer commercial was, his buddies was out on the lake fishing. I mean, it was one of those beautiful lakes with a mountain back of it. I mean, it was just as beautiful as you could think of. They had been fishing all day long, and they had caught a great mess of fish, and they had their campsite set up there on the river bank there, and man, it getting close time for the sun to be going down, and a few of them done made it back to the shore, and they had them fish clean, and they had them in a frying pan, and you could just see them fish a-flirting and a-frying in that frying pan, a good mess of fresh fish, and then the rest of them were sitting around in their easy chairs on logs and all with that can of embalming fluid in their hand. And you know what they said? It just don't get any better than this. There's a lot of people like that today. And I want to tell you, if it don't get no better than that for them, I feel sorry for them. And there's a lot of people today. They're out. They're not worshiping. They're not serving. They may be up a tree hunting a deer. They might be down on that lake fishing. They may be going on vacation. They may be out on that cruise ship, sitting around the deck of that cruise ship. And they may be saying, man, isn't this great? It don't get no better than this. But I'm going to tell you, if that's all they're looking for, I'm going to tell you, I feel sorry for them. Because my Lord and my Savior tells me it gets a lot better than anything that this world's got to show you. It gets better for serving Jesus Christ. If that's all the good they're going to get out of life, I feel sorry for them. What do you think is absolute the best for you? What do you think absolute the best for you? Jesus Christ can show us this and this woman. What is the highest attainment that a human being can ever come to? While you're here on this life, what is the highest attainment that you can come to in this life? What is it? Is it money? Is it prestige? Is it vacation? Is it fishing on the riverbank? Is it traveling? The Bible says to worship God in spirit and in truth. The highest form of attainment that you can have on this planet Earth in the body that you live in today, and it says to worship God in truth and in spirits. And he answered these questions many times in these verses here. A drink that satisfies. We see a little bit of the background here as Jesus Christ is on his mission now around the Sea of Galilee. And he's traveling now about a 60-mile journey. You notice they don't have any cars or camels. They are walking. And the Bible says in verse 4 that he must need go through Samaria. Now, the Jews did not like to go through the place called Samaria because it was hostile territory. It was a country that both sides really didn't have much like for either one, the Jews or the Samaritans. But Jesus Christ had a divine appointment, as you and I have today, that God told him he must go through Samaria. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Each step that you take are ordered by the Lord. Divine guidance. As Jesus Christ walked on this earth, Jesus Christ had an appointment with a wayfaring woman, or wayfaring woman. That's where God told him to go to. Now, this woman had been married 5 times, the Bible says, and then she's living without the benefit of marriage now, maybe the 6th time. Jesus Christ changes her from a welfare woman to a liberated lady. He sets her free. The lights of this story tells us now about salvation and of worship. Salvation first and then also worship. Now, a Samaritan woman had been a slave to Satan at that time. Now, Satan had told her now, maybe whenever she was young, as a lot of young people today, follow me and I will show you the way of fulfillment in life. I'll show you how to have a good time. I'll show you how to be rich. She was probably young at that time, very gullible probably, as a lot of people are at that time. She was a very beautiful, beautiful lady, I would say, because no woman could have 5 marriages unless she had something to offer, would you say? Now this time she says she's without a husband at this time. Now, maybe she would have been a star out in California if she'd been married this 5 or 6 times or whatever. But now she see, Satan says, I'll show you how to get the best out of your life. Satan tells people that every day. I will set you free. But we find out that she was a slave. He made a slave out of her because she was, first of all, a slave to sin. She was a slave to her sin. Husband to husband, but she still was in sin. She was still in captivity of Satan. Slave to sin. She wanted to break loose probably from time to time. As we see a lot of people, and I've discussed it many times, with people on drugs and people, can't help but just go by that liquor store and other things we have to pull us down in this life. Now, from time to time that a lot of people, maybe it's on drugs, and a lot of people, maybe alcoholics and other problems they have in life, and they keep going back. They say, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to go back by that liquor store no more. I'm not going to smoke that joint anymore. I'm not going to pop no more of those pills. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And part of that problem of that person, there's something down deep inside was telling them, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm going to quit this. But you see, they don't have the power to do so. We talk about that sorry so-and-so, that drug head, that dope addict, that alcoholic so-and-so, and we talk about them as this woman here was talking about, and she wanted to quit, and a lot of them wants to quit, but they don't have the power to quit that. Remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve took of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, from that time on, they knew. They knew what was good and they knew what was not good. They knew what was evil, they knew what was good. But the thing about it is they had the knowledge, but they didn't have the power. They knew what was good, but they couldn't do what was good. They knew what was evil, but they couldn't keep from doing what was evil. And they passed that on, hear me, to everybody that's sitting in this building right now, and to all your offspring from Adam until this day, until the day that Jesus Christ come back, and it's called the fallen nature of mankind, and we all have it. So you see, God don't say just one or two of us is bad. God don't say one or two of us is sorry, but he puts another way in his Bible. It says, none seeketh after God, no, not one. None good, no, not one. And I think that means you and I, if I'm not very mistaken. This woman was a wayfaring woman. She was a slave to sin. And she had been in this sin for a pretty good while. And she wanted to be loose from time to time, but she didn't have the power. Satan had those irons chained to her hand, and all the time he had to do is jerk, and she would do that. He says in the Bible, he that committeth sin is a slave to sin. Well, she was a slave to sin, but she was also a slave to her sorrow. In chapter 4, you find out that she was a woman there, had been rejected. She had been frustrated, and she was a sorrowful woman. Now, the devil promised her so much, but they always pay so little. As I said, these commercials that you see, it's always nice. They always show this nice side. Always show these young people out on the beach. Always show it a good time for these young people. But they don't never turn it around and show you 20 years after when they don't have anything and they maybe 40 years old and look like they're 90 years old. They lost everything they have. There are also two sides. Well, this woman, you see, the devil had promised her so much, but he pays so little. The devil offers her the highest wages, but you know what? He pays off with counterfeit money so many times. If we would just learn that also in our life today. Proverbs 20:17 tells us the bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Sin has its thrill, but it does not have lasting joy. That's the reason this drink that satisfies. Sin, we know it says in the Bible, pleasure of sin for a while. But I tell you, pleasures in sin for a while does not have lasting joy and never will. But then the third thing, we find that a slave to superstition. She was very, very superstitious because of the area she lived in and what she was. She was a Samaritan. Verse 22 that I've read, ye worship, ye know not what, but we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. She was a religious woman now because she worshiped as a Samaritan. She worshiped, but she didn't know the Lord who she's supposed to be worshiping as many today. She was very superstitious. Richie said, you know, when they go into these villages that they never go before, and they're always very, very superstitious about somebody coming in. Why you want to come and help us? Well, she had this same thing. She was very, very superstitious about Jesus Christ. But you see, he found a way to get in there to those people. Well, that's what Jesus Christ is doing. He's finding a way here to get into this woman. She had a form of godliness, but you know, there was no power to deliver her from her superstition. So she had this religion, and though this religion did not give her satisfaction, it did not give her strength. She tried to use her religious to cover her sin. But it says in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. She needed to turn away from her false religion. She did not know Jesus Christ. Now the story goes now, Jesus Christ is at that well, you see, and he said he thirsts. That shows that he was human being. He was human. He's thirst. Jesus thirst. The woman came there at high noon to draw water. Now she didn't come at other times. High noon when all the rest of the ladies didn't come. She come at high noon because you see she was an outcast. The women, you say, they isolated themselves from her. She was despised. But Jesus Christ, as she come to that time, asked her for a drink of water. And when he did, she fired back at him. You could tell the hateful in her eyes. She fired back at him. You Jew, why are you asking me a drink of water, being a Samaritan? In verse 9 and 10, it says this. This woman, a Samaritan, unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealing with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would give thee living water. She did not understand, but she fired back at him. Now, why you ask me about a drink of water? Well, Jesus Christ got the conversation started about her and talking to her. But there was a barrier to break down. You see, when we start witnessing to people, you start talking about two people. Father, especially those it's out and down, especially about those there, you know, it has their own thoughts about salvation. There's a barrier that we need to break down. The racial barrier. You see, we really need to break down the racial barrier in our country. Salvation is not just for United States. Salvation is not just for the white people. I want to tell you, salvation is for the whole world. Jesus Christ died for the whole world. You see, whenever I go to Mexico and I cross back into the United States, I say, whew, thank you, Lord, that I was born in the United States. But I want to tell you that God don't see no borders when it comes to salvation. People need to be saved in Mexico. They need to be saved in Brazil. They need to be saved all around the world. It's whosoever. He cares just as much for people in Mexico as it does people sitting right here in this place today, because he died for the whole world today. And we need to understand that. Jesus Christ breaking down that barrier between the Jews and Samaritans. Now, the history goes, reason they had a barrier there, because the remnant of the Samaritans. Back in the early days now, we know that Israel had 12 tribes, and they had a civil war. 10 of those tribes went one side called the north, and 2 of them went south of the tribe called Judah and Benjamin, the south tribe. Well, these 10 tribes, as you read your history there in the Old Testament, we find that the Assyrians start with attack them, because whenever we start dividing ourselves, we become weak. And the nation of Israel divided themselves, and they come weak, and so the enemy began to carry them away. So 10 of these tribes called the northern tribe, there was 10 of them, and the Assyrian army attacked those toast tribes, and they whipped them, and they carried them all into captivity. Well, they carry all the rich people, they care all the young people, they care all the wealthy people, they care all the nice people, they care all the educated people. They leave the down and out into outcasts. They would leave them there. Well, when the Assyrians started to replenish that place that they had captured of Israel, they sent the Assyrian people back in there, the young men and the young women and the young people, to build up that society. Well, just guess what the Jews at that time done was left captivity. They married with those Assyrians, and they came, they called them there half-breeds. That the Jews did not like that. The full-blooded Jews did not like that. The same thing, you know, happened when the other tribe was carried away at Daniel's time, you know, carried away in the Babylonian time. That two tribes all was carried away. Judah and Benjamin was carried away into captivity. We know more about that, those two tribes, because you see, of Daniel, three Hebrew children was carried into captivity, and they didn't return back until Nehemiah's day. And the same thing happened at Nehemiah's day. But that this time, this is the reason that they hated one another. This was the barrier that the Jews had, because you see, they was half-breeds, and the half-breeds, and you know, the ones were full-blooded Jews, and they traced their ancestors back. They had no dealings with half-breeds. Same thing today, that racial barrier. But salvation has no barriers, no matter who you are. You remember the Lord talked to Peter when it come to Cornelius' house, when he was going to get saved there in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, and here's what he said: to him give us all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believed in him shall receive remission of sin. That is forgiveness of sin. That no matter who you are, you can have salvation this day. But there was a barrier that needed to be broke down. And there was a resentment barrier. The barrier there of a racial barrier, then there's barriers there of resentment barrier. You Jews, you ask me about water, and I've been rejected, I've been discriminated against, and you ask me. And you can see the hate and hostility and the bitterness she had, because she's been all her life, she's been talked down against. Jews hated them. All this life she's been looked down upon. Prejudice is judging somebody before you really know them. And she is judging Jesus Christ already. And we have to tell you honestly today, a lot of us today, including me, have a little bit of prejudice in me this day. The way we was raised in this country, we have a little bit of prejudice in us and someone more than others in this country right now. Because God says, whosoever will, but then we got our own ones that we want to carry the gospel to. But she was hostile against him. She was judging Jesus Christ by other Jews. Barrier of reputation, good or bad, keeps people from coming to Jesus Christ and salvation. You know, the Bible puts it very plain and why it does for us to understand that. In the Holy Spirit of God, in chapter 3 of the book of John, there's a man named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus now was a very rich man. He was a Jew. He was an educated man. I'm going to tell you, he was on the Sanhedrin court. Everything a man had going for him, Nicodemus had. But Jesus Christ said to him, he come to Jesus Christ by night, how can I be saved? Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, Nicodemus represented that nobody is too good that they don't need to be saved. That's what that represents. But now we come to the Samaritan woman we're talking about this morning. Now here's a woman that's down and out. She's not a Jew. She's a half-breed. We have all these barriers up. She's a slave. What does this mean? That means nobody too bad that they can't be saved. Nobody's too bad that can't be saved, and there's nobody too good that they don't need to be saved. That's the reason the Holy Spirit put it that way. Now we have this, the well of water. Now, this well of water, Jesus Christ used this well of water. Now, the illustration on himself, Isaiah 12 and 3 says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the well of salvation. He called himself the living water. John 4:10-13. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that asks thee, give me a drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would give thee living water. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. What's he talking about? He's talking about himself. Jesus Christ is satisfying water. He's satisfying water. He's talking about himself. Now you see, God made us to thirst. You know why you get thirsty? God made you that way. Why did God make you to get thirsty? Because we made about 70% of our bodies water. Without thirst, we would not drink water as we should. You know, sometimes people go to the hospital and they get dehydrated. You know why they get dehydrated? Because they don't drink enough of fluid. And they have to have fluid added to their veins because they 70% are better of water. And God says, you need this water. You need to get thirsty. Well, because Jesus Christ, one that satisfies our thirst. Have you ever been outside working? And I'm sure we all have. And you get hot and sweaty in the summertime. And whatever you might be doing, working in the garden, working in the flowers, mowing your grass, working on the job, whatever it is, it comes time for a break and you run and get you a soda water. You drink that soda water and boy, that thing is good. You drink that soda water for a few minutes, you're doing pretty good. You go back outside, you same thing, you go again, you know. And if not long, you're thirsty again, and you run back in there and you get you another soda water, and you drink that soda water, and boy, that thing is good. And before long, you're thirsty again, and that third time, you get you a good glass of cold water. Uh-huh. And man, that water satisfies, or that old soda water won't never satisfy. And then, you know, a lot of time that you read on that soda water, it says artificial coloring, artificial flavoring, artificial sweetening. It's not authentic. That's the why it's all artificial. That's the reason that clear glass of water that Jesus Christ is talking about, it satisfies. And you see, we got artificial, a lot of things that we take to try to satisfy ourselves. It's not the authentic Christianity, and it's not a salvation. And I'm going to tell you, whatever you try, it's all artificial. It just won't satisfy unless you get that good drink of water of salvation from Jesus Christ. All those soda waters won't come up with it. It's a good, cool glass of water to quench your thirst. It'll never satisfy. Nothing will never satisfy apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is sanctifying water also. And she was thirsty inside, but she needed to be cleaned on the outside. 1 Corinthians 6:11 tells us, and such were some of you. You needed to be clean also. You were some of you, but you are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. You see, the Bible says, though your sin might be scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You see, because Jesus Christ is that sanctifying water. But not only that, you see the spring of water in verse 14 again. But whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You have the well within you, and the salvation is within you. In chapter 7 of the same book tells us in verse 37, in the last days, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The woman, it says in this verse of scriptures, that she left her water pot and she went into the town. Why did she leave it? Because she didn't need it anymore. Then we see the way of worship. This carries us on to another sermon. Maybe I can preach it in 5 minutes. Why? Why is all this happening now, the way to worship? Why did Jesus Christ forgive her sins? Why did Jesus Christ seek her? Why did he satisfy her? Verse 23 and 24. But the hour come and now is that when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What is the highest attainment, again, I might ask you, what is the highest attainment that a human being can come to in this life? And that is to worship God, because you need it. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what, you let everything else go. I don't care what time you spend anywhere in the world, but I'm going to tell you, you don't put off your worship on Sunday. Now, you worship 7 days a week, not on Sunday, but this is just the time we have collective worship. We worship every day. Don't ever put off any service that you can. Always start on Monday if you got to do anything, and you end it up on Saturday. But you have Sunday, the day we have collective service, because we need this. Why do we need this? We become what we worship. We become what we worship. A man makes an idol, molds an idol, and the idol molds him. You see, when we worship, we become like our idols. When we behold him, it says, we are changed from glory to glory in the same image from glory to glory. What is the worship? What is worship? What are we doing this morning? Are we worshiping this morning? Worship is responding to all that he is from everything that we know that we have and we own. That's worship. Worship. All that you are, respond to all that he is. God desires, God deserves, and I'm going to tell you, God demands our worship. He commands us, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. That is a command to every child of God. It is a command. Do not forsake to assemble yourself together. That is command. And some people say, well, they're not here. I guess they just missed a blessing. No, it's not that they missed a blessing. They have sinned. I bet you shouldn't say that. Well, the Bible does. The Bible does. They have sin. Why? Because they are rebelling against God. The greatest sin, I'm going to tell you, is rebellion against God, not to worship him when you have a chance to worship him. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love him with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. What is worship now? Now this woman is able to worship. Now what is worship? And I'm fixing to close in just a few minutes. What is worship? Are you really worshiping this morning? Are you a person that's worshiping God this very hour? Well, here it is. I'm going to tell it to you in this form. A young lady was in a building, a high-rise building, and the building was on fire. She came to the window and she said, "Help, help, the building's on fire, I need help." Well, the fire trucks came. They run the ladder up. A young fireman went up that ladder, took that beautiful girl in his arms, and he brought her down that ladder to safety. After a few days, she went back and to thank him. As she met him and she thanked him, they become real good friends. And they started dating. And after a while, they got married. Now, when she was up in that building, hollering for help, help, she was praying for help. "Lord, help me, a poor sinner." He sent help on the way, and he brought me down to safety. But you see, praying is not quite worshiping. Then after she was down a few days, she went back to thank him for saving her. Now that was praising for what you've done for me. Praise God for what you've done for me. But prayer and praise are not quite worship. But then after a few days, she fell in love with him and they got married. And listen, she committed everything she had, everything she was, to everything that she knew that he was. And they became one. Now, I want to tell you, that's worship. A lot of people pray, a lot of people praise, but I'm going to tell you, until you commit everything that you are to everything that he is, you're not worshiping. This woman, well, she committed everything that she had to everything that Jesus was, and she began to worship. And it says the Lord seeks that such to worship him. You see, the Lord is seeking here in this building this hour. Some people might be praying, some people might be praising, but I'm telling you, how many of us are worshiping? God said, God, Father, seek such to worship him. Commit everything to him. Father, see such to worship him this hour. Oh, no, you can come to church and never miss a Sunday. You can come to church and never miss a service and not worship God. Yes, sir. This is where you begin your worship at. Don't never miss a service if you can help it. Always begin things on Monday and end them on Saturday, no matter what it is. You prepare Sunday on Saturday. Always remember that. You see, you got to be regenerated by the Father. You see, you got to be activated by the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, you got to be saturated by the Word of God to worship Jesus Christ. This woman now can worship Jesus Christ, now who she knew was her Savior. As we come with a song for invitation this hour, I tell you, now we can worship God. I believe that's what happened this week. Now we can worship God. We don't have to worry about anything else. If you're willing here this day, are you worshiping God all over this building? I don't know your hearts. I have no idea. But I know one that does, and that's Jesus Christ. And I would dare say today, there's probably somebody thinking about something else besides worshiping God this hour. But God knows what you're thinking, every one of us. And are you worshiping God? You willing to give him everything that you have, everything that you are, to everything that you know that he is? And I'm going to tell you what, that's worship as we stand and sing our